If he's been good to you, give him praise and magnify him. We worship you, oh God. We bless your name. We praise your name, oh God. Praise God. Wonderful presence of God in the house tonight. Wonderful moving of the presence of God and his word in the house this morning. We appreciate so much Brother Urshan being with us tonight. And what a fantastic job he did this morning. The word of God was so rich and so immediate and full of good things. Just so thankful for all that God is doing. And in your lives and in your families and in every ministry, appreciate all the passion-based ministries and what you're doing and how God's moving through your life. And isn't it great to be a part of the kingdom of God? And isn't it great to have God moving through you in a very real and very personal way? Praise God. Praise God. A lot of projects going on around here, so you want to make sure that you always keep your children in tow and know exactly where they are. I want to give a special shout out to David and Daniel Carr and the boys last night. They were up on the roof till about 10:30, patching a big hole in the steeple. We got a lightning strike last night, and we only fried a couple of things. These spots are out up here and a little something in the camera booth back there. But otherwise, we're in pretty good shape for that kind of activity, so we want to give God thanks for that. But all these guys that threw in and helped us last night, praise God. The news folks came out, but they were expecting calamity and disaster, and we were pretty nonchalant about it all, so they went away. I think they interviewed Stephen, so. Isn't it rich in the house tonight? I feel like God has something extraordinary for us, and I appreciate every worshiper and everyone who's prayed and all the good praise and the praise singers and the musicians. They do an awesome job preparing this moment for us. And now the word of God is going to come forth, and we're going to open ourselves up like God's cultivated field and let God plant his word in our hearts. And the word of God is masculine, assertive, and we become, as receivers of the word of God, we become feminine, receptive, and we open up and we receive the word of God, because I want more of God, and I want God to plant it deep within my life so it comes forth and that it bears good fruit. I believe the best is yet to come. I really do believe that he saves the best for last, and I think God has extraordinary plans for this church and for your ministry and for your family and for your life. We want to just be attentive tonight. Brother Urshan, we're delighted that you've come, and we're extremely delighted that you're going to be neighbors to us, but that's a secret, but not a very well-kept secret, but we'll act like it is, so, even though you're in Mississippi, you'll still be pretty close, so we look forward to a long and rich relationship with you and any church that in the future you might become associated with, if that were to happen. Not saying anything about that. But why don't you come tonight and tell us what the Holy Ghost is telling you? And we love you. Bless you. God bless you, friend.
Let's clap our hands unto the Lord. Let's love him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, let's love him all over this building right now. Just for just a moment, let's continue this atmosphere of praise. I love you, Jesus. Love you, Jesus. Praise your name, praise your name, praise your name. Thank you, Jesus. What a beautiful atmosphere of worship is here right now. Amen. Atmosphere is a big deal. Atmosphere is a big deal. There's a lot of planets in this solar system and outside this solar system, and they say that we can't go there and we can't colonize anything until there's an atmosphere. And I read the scientists when they say it, and every time I read it, I go, hallelujah. Because you can't have a move of God without an atmosphere. And that's what we've been doing. We've been creating an atmosphere. The club has an atmosphere. The bar has an atmosphere. The church needs an atmosphere. Amen. Birds live in the air, fish live in the sea, but the Bible says he inhabits the praises of Israel. Amen. And when you praise him, that's atmosphere.
You breathe it in and you breathe it out, and you breathe it in and you breathe it out, and you can live and you can proclaim the goodness of God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to give honor to Pastor Sutton. And he gives thanks to God, and rightfully so. But I've been around just long enough that God needs a man, needs a representative to proclaim his word and to fulfill his will. Aren't you glad for a man that God sent? There was a man sent from God named Pastor Sutton. He came to bear witness of that light. Amen. And this church is here. There was a time when this church was not at this location, and this was not happening, but now it is. Look at God. Look what the Lord has done. Somebody needs to look at the devil and tell him, devil, you are such a stinking liar. You tried to talk me out of living for God. You tried to talk me into backsliding. You tried to talk me into missing the will of God. But look what the Lord has done. Amen. Amen. So it's always an honor to be here. I feel like this is family. I feel a kindred spirit here. And right here in the middle of Birmingham, there is a powerful outpouring of the Holy Ghost. And I'm just excited I get to be a little part of it with you guys and worship the Lord with you. Amen. Good to be with the ministering staff and the brethren and the sistren that are here. Love and appreciate everybody that works so hard. I know this doesn't happen by accident, but people are working. They're working like hamsters on a wheel. They're turning the wheel, and it makes it work. Praise God. So I appreciate that. Amen. If you've got your Bibles, go ahead and open them to the book of Matthew, chapter 1. Matthew, chapter 1. And while you're turning there, my wife and my boys said to send their greetings to the great saints of Birmingham. Amen. They couldn't be here tonight. They are back home at the secret location, preparing for the possibility or not of taking over a church. Amen. And they love Birmingham as well. Matthew chapter 1 and verse 23. This is what the writer said, quoting the prophet. He said, "Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is God with us. God with us. And that's what I want to preach. It's not fancy. It's not flashy, but it's right. I want to preach for a few moments tonight and share some things God has laid on my heart. God with us. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. I can remember being young in my ministry and reading portions of scripture that I struggled to explain them. I struggled to articulate what they meant. And they are scriptures that, if you are a casual observer of the Bible, or are just mildly curious, and you read them in a perfunctory way,
And if you allow somebody else to do your thinking for you, you too will struggle with them. And it's deceived people through the centuries. One of them is found in John chapter 14. And the Bible says that if a man, Jesus makes this statement. He says, if a man loves me and he keeps my commandments, my Father and I, we will come to him and make our abode with him. And I remember reading that and say, well, I thought we believed in one God. And I thought Jesus was God. So what is this we stuff? What is this our stuff? How can there be plural pronouns? How can that be? And I remember, I don't know if I actually thought this or if I just kind of fell into this mode of thinking. I kind of got to thinking like there were oneness verses and Trinitarian verses. And they had ours and we had ours and they had theirs. And we stuck with things that portrayed us in the best light. And then they grabbed a hold of things and showed things that seemed to support what they were saying. And then I got a little older and I realized that it's all one Bible. And it's not for certain groups of people to pick and choose what they feel and what they think supports their little pet projects and their pet doctrines. But one God put down his mind towards man and manifested his word towards us. Thank God for that. And I want to talk about that we in that hour tonight, because I'm not afraid of it. I am not afraid of what the Bible says. And I haven't closed off any verses to preach on. Well, I won't preach on that, but I will preach on this. I'll preach on all of them. Because I am baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. I just happen to know his name is Jesus. And when they baptized me, they said, in Jesus' name. And when I did, I got the Father, and I got the Son, and I got the Holy Ghost. That doesn't scare me. There's power in the name. And so, the we and the our, it contains a powerful principle. I want to try to articulate it tonight. A lot of people... And I can remember wondering at this myself, don't know the difference between the Holy Ghost of the Old Testament and the Holy Ghost of the New Testament. Same spirit, but yet there is a difference in administration. I'm glad I have the Holy Ghost. Amen. I'm glad I have the New Testament experience. And the Holy Ghost moved in the Old Testament. The Bible says that his spirit moved upon the face of the waters. It says that that over the valley of dry bones, the wind blew, and there were times where the Spirit came upon Samson, and the Bible says that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. God has always been moving. He's always moved upon people. He's always inspired people. He's always been there. God is a spirit. God is a spirit. Amen. But there is a difference between that administration and our administration. And we see it pretty clearly in John the Baptist when the scripture tells us that he was filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. Filled with the Holy Ghost. The babe was leaped in the womb and God's spirit was inside of him and working on him. And that is the Holy Ghost. But then Jesus went on to say, as great a prophet as he was, no greater prophet born of a woman, as a matter of fact, that as great as he was, he that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. I'm glad I have the New Testament administration of the Holy Ghost. There's something special about what we have here right now. I don't just have something that comes on me and then departs, but he's living in me. He's dwelling in me. He's empowering me. He's moving on me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So what's the difference, Brother Ershom? Well, I'm so glad you asked. I'm going to share it with you. Because there is the administration of the ministry of the man, Christ Jesus. Jesus was a man. He was a human being. He wasn't a half human. He wasn't a partial human. He was a real human. He had a human spirit. He wasn't just the Spirit of God inside of him. Like God had his hand in a puppet moving it around, and the puppet was just talking to us, but underneath the skin was just God's spirit. No, he had a real human spirit. And that human spirit could feel depression, and it could feel discouragement, and it could feel everything that your human spirit can feel. But in addition to that, he had the Spirit of God living inside of him. Somebody said, well, who's he praying to on the cross? And who's he praying to in the garden? And just because God is in the heavenlies and fulfilling all things doesn't mean that he can't live inside of a person. Amen. He's living in you and 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 you. And even though you have a human spirit, God's living inside of us at the same time. Amen. And just like he lives in you, he lived in Jesus Christ. The difference being that Jesus didn't receive the Holy Ghost like we received the spirit of adoption, but Jesus was born that way. Jesus had the Spirit of God from the beginning as the Holy Ghost overshadowed him, Mary, and she gave birth. Amen. So that spirit that was in him is God. Amen. It's that spirit. And he died. And he rose from the dead on the third day. And he ascended up into heavenly places. And then he came back. Amen. And when he came back as the Holy Ghost. But it's not the same administration as the Old Testament Holy Ghost. But it's a New Testament administration where the Spirit of God, and I don't know the right word for this. I don't know if the word is fused or blended or mixed or connected or intertwined. Or I don't even know if the human language has the words that can describe the incarnation of the mighty God in Christ. But whatever you want to call it, it was the spirit of the invisible God with the spirit of the man Christ Jesus. And it comes down to live inside of me. Not two gods. Not two persons in the Trinity elbowing each other for room. But the man Christ Jesus and the spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. And that's the difference between that administration and this administration. And you can understand tonight, and you can rest assured that he knows everything that you've ever been through. He knows what it feels like to be betrayed. He knows what it feels like to be abandoned. He knows what it feels like to go to the bottom, and he knows what it feels like to rise to the top, because the man Christ Jesus felt everything you feel and overcame it by the power of Almighty God. I'm glad I have the Holy Ghost tonight. I wouldn't come to church if there wasn't the Holy Ghost. People are leaving religion and they're leaving denominations, and they want to go to basketball games and football games because they feel a spirit there. It's not the Holy Spirit, but they feel a spirit. There's life and there's movement and there's excitement, and that's where they go. And I wouldn't go to church if the Holy Ghost wasn't there either. I'm glad you're here, and I hope you're glad I'm here, but I'm really glad Jesus is here. I'm glad Jesus is here. I'm glad the Holy Ghost is here. And this is all the movement that I need. This is all the excitement that I need. If you're going to clap, clap for the Lord. If you're going to shout, shout for God. If you're going to sing, sing unto the Lord a new song. So when he says, we will come, he means God, spirit and flesh, the man and the spirit together will come. One God and the man Christ Jesus will come down and make our abode. I'm not afraid of that. It's not a Trinity. It's the mighty God in Christ. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. That's why we do what we do. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. We're going to talk about that. That idea of togetherness is a big deal. That idea of we, that idea, it's powerful. It's very powerful. We need it. Bible says the greatest commandment in the Bible, and this is why we know there's not three persons in the Godhead. It says the greatest commandment is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." Greatest commandment. Upon this do all the law and the prophets hang. And we're going to love him with all our heart, all our mind, all our soul, all our strength. If you're visiting here tonight, I want to welcome you to a one God church. This is a one God church. This is an anointed one God church. And I know Jesus is the Father. And I know Jesus is the Son. And I know Jesus is the Holy Ghost. It's a one God church. Great revelation. Greatest revelation. But there's a second one that's like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And you cannot say you love God who you have never seen and hate your brother who you have seen. Amen. Your neighbor is made in the image of God. And because they're in the image of God, you love them. And you love them because you love God. I'll take it a step further. You can actually tell how much people love God by how much they'll love people. Don't tell me you love him if you can't love them. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm going out and I'm telling people about Jesus because they're in the image of God. I don't want anybody to go to hell. I don't want my enemy to go to hell. I don't want the people who hurt me to go to hell. I want everybody to go to heaven because they're made in the image of God. And there is a togetherness, a we-ness. There's something about together. The Bible tells us that God gave us commandments. He gave us commandments. And in those commandments, he told us, "Thou shalt not have any other gods before me. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image." You know how it goes. "Thou shalt not kill. Shalt not steal. Shalt not commit adultery. Shalt not bear false witness. Will not covet." On and on goes down through the commandments. And if you look at the commandments without the revelation of togetherness, then you're going to misunderstand it. If you try to follow the commandments alone, you're going to find out that you can't. You're going to find out you don't have the power. You're going to find out that you're unable. Hallelujah. I need Jesus tonight. I need the Holy Ghost right now. Don't try to make it without the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, young man. Don't try to serve God without the Holy Ghost. You need the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, young lady. You need the Holy Ghost if you're going to serve God. You can't follow a list of rules. You can't just follow a list of regulations and say, "Well, I'm going to go to church and I'm going to follow the rules of that church and I'm just going to try by my willpower to follow what the Bible says." You're going to find out your willpower is incapable. The best intentions you have are going to fall apart on you because we were never meant to do this alone. Let me say it again. We were never supposed to do this by ourselves. We need Jesus. And so you read those commandments, 10 commandments. Let me tell you about the commandments. That word, that prefix, come, that begins that word, come, commandment. The come means together. It's built into the word. Come, con, co. That's all a Latin prefix that means together. If you have a co-worker, it's a worker who works together with you. If you're codependent, means you're dependent on someone else. It's something that happens together. That idea permeates this, and it's in the commandments. Don't try to do it by yourself. It's supposed to be done together. That word manned, that root
Manned, M-A-N-D. Come manned. Manned means hand. Hand. In Spanish, the word is manos. It means hands. And what it means is God actually took his word and put it into the hands of Moses. He delegated it together. He put it into his hands and he said, I'm entrusting you with heaven's blueprints. I'm going to bring you out of barbarism. I'm going to bring you out of incest. I'm going to bring you out of cannibalism. I'm going to bring you out of murder and hatred. I'm going to bring you out of prejudice. And I'm going to put it in your hands. And I'm going to show you how you can do it on earth as it is in heaven. And the things that Adam lost, I'm going to give it back to you. And it was given by God in the hands of a mediator. So it's a commandment. And it's supposed to happen together. Let me show you the danger of not doing it together. The danger of not doing it together is thinking you're just following a list of rules. You're just following some regulations. You hang them on the wall and you walk by them and read them every once in a while and it just becomes something hanging there and that's all it is. And you say, well, that's just something God said and my mom says to do it and my grandma and grandpa say to do it and I guess I'm supposed to do it. I don't know much about it. And there it is. It's a commandment. And looked at from the lens of the Old Testament, it looks as if there's an angry God that says, if you don't, you better watch out. If you do this, then I will do this. And his brow is furrowed and his face is angry. And he's looking at you and you better not mess up. I'll get you. Lightning bolts. Bam. Bad things are going to happen. And then bad things will happen because the judgment of God's a real thing. If we transgress God's commandments, bad things are going to happen. But it's not God's will that bad things happen. God's not looking to get us. If you're here tonight and you're feeling bad because you messed up, God's will is not that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God doesn't want you dying. He wants you living. He wants you there to lift your hands and glorify God. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to make it. He wants you to have a family. He wants you to raise children to glorify God. God is for us. He's not against us. And though judgment is real, love is greater. Your Bible says that mercy rejoices against judgment. Amen. And when it comes time to show God's basic nature, you're going to find out that when the woman is caught in adultery, in the very act, they had a chance to kill her. Jesus, what do we do? Moses says to stone her. If God's basic nature was judgment, he would say, kill her. She messed up. She broke the commandment. But that's not what he said. Knelt down and wrote in the dirt. And the answer was, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. Everybody in this room has some skeletons somewhere in the closet. Everybody in this room has a little dirt under the rug somewhere. Don't try to be so high and mighty that you're ready to tear your brother down. I don't want to tear him down. I want the mercy of God to work on them. I want the Holy Ghost to pick them up out of their fallen condition. I want God to turn them around. And I want him to establish them and wash them. Go thy way and sin no more. Mercy is his basic nature. So you read those commandments from the Old Testament, it looks like God's angry. But if you look at them from the New Testament, you realize he's looking at you with love. And those commandments are not to hurt you, and they're not to spoil the party, and they're not to make you live a boring life, and they are not a threat. I want you to hear that. They're not a threat. They're a promise. They're a promise. He was given those commandments knowing that one day I'm going to come down there with you. One day I'm going to walk among men. one day I'm going to give you power that you don't have right now. And when my Holy Ghost comes inside of you, I got good news, new life. Thou shalt not kill. Isn't it great? When my Spirit comes inside of you, I promise you, you're not going to commit adultery, but you're going to have a new heart and you're going to have a new spirit. When my Spirit comes in, we're going to do this thing together. When my Spirit comes inside of you, thou shalt not have any other gods. You ain't gonna need Dagon. You ain't gonna need Baal. You ain't gonna need Ashtoreth. Because when you got the best, baby, you don't need the rest. Because I'm gonna live in you. I'm gonna walk in you. I'm gonna give you power that you didn't have. You're not gonna need the idol. You're gonna have the Spirit of the living God. And you're going to throw down your idol and you're going to throw down the graven image. Because you don't need that junk. You're going to have me. When I live in you, you're not going to lie anymore. I'm going to put a spirit of honesty and integrity in your heart. And lips that used to lie are going to speak truth. And husbands are going to trust wives, and wives are going to trust husbands, and children are going to obey their parents in the Lord, for this is right. Hallelujah. It's not a threat. I'm promising you, I'm going to straighten out the crooked. I'm going to set the captive free. Every valley's going to be brought up. Every mountain's going to be brought down. And there's going to be a highway for the Lord when I show up. And we're going to do this together. It's a commandment. I want you to notice, you can be seated. It's not a demand. It's not an order given from way out there. A demand is when you look at somebody and just tell them, you do this because I said do it. It's a command. He's going to be right next to us. Hallelujah. He's going to walk with us. Oh, thank you, Jesus. He's God with us. Yes, he is. Amen. A demand is different. A demand is something that somebody else is not doing that they're making you do. When I was in high school, we had a PE teacher. And he would take us down to the field, and we would do push-ups, and make us do sit-ups, do jumping jacks, and he'd make us run a mile. And we'd run that mile, and here we'd be out there. He was about 500 pounds. He'd get in his truck behind us. Got a hamburger in one hand, a drink in this cold drink in the other hand, lean out the window and say, all right, guys, if you keep it up, if I can keep up this pace, you can keep it up. That is a demand. That is something that they ain't doing and they're making you do. My God's not sitting out on the edge of some solar system somewhere looking in and saying, do this and do this just because I said so. He's coming down inside. He's coming down and he's getting muddy. He's getting bloody. He's getting sweaty. He's looking at every vice. He's feeling your pain. I'm going to walk with you. The commander in the military doesn't sit out there and give orders, but he walks with his men and he leads his men. And many times he leads the charge and says, I'm gonna go. I won't ask you to do anything that I haven't done. Because he's a commander. Gonna do it together. If we're going to win Birmingham, Alabama, we're gonna do it together. My, my, my. I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I think the devil wants to break people apart. I think he wants to break husbands away from wives. I think he wants to break children away from families. Amen. I think he wants to break races apart, and he wants to tear apart the structure of a city and a society. Bob, but the Holy Ghost has other plans. The Holy Ghost says, if you're going to do it, you're going to do it together. Hallelujah. You're going to build it together. You're going to fight together. You're going to praise together. You're going to worship. I'm doing it with him, and we're doing it together, and we're going to have a church, and we're going to build the kingdom of God. Amen. You can be seated. That's why he's called the Comforter. The Comforter. Come together. The word fort, it means strong. In Spanish, the word is fuerte. La palabra en español es fuerte. The word is strong. Amen. And in pioneer days, they would go out and they would go into new territory, and there were Native Americans, and there were threats, and there were wild animals, and they would build outlying outposts, and people had cabins, and they lived in the wilderness. And when the threat would come, and the military would say, there's a threat, you need to get to safety, they would run to the fort. They would run to the safe place where the walls are tall, and they're thick, and they're built with fortifications. Well, the come fort is here right now. Hey, Kalabukoshaya. And you're not supposed to do it alone. Amen. It literally means together strong. You ain't strong by yourself. You're going to mess it up by yourself. I'm going to admit to you, I'm not a good husband without Jesus. I'm not a good father without Jesus. I'm sure enough not a preacher without Jesus. I'm a better man with Jesus. Without him, I got problems. Without him, I'm messed up. Without him, I'm just flesh and bone. But with him, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. He is my strong tower. He is my high place. He... Amen. And he comes down alongside of me. You know, when you break something on your body, you break your arm, you break your leg, the doctor will come, he'll put a cast on that arm. And that cast is strong. And it acts as an exterior bone when the inside bone is broken. And together, it'll be strong. That's what the Holy Ghost does. God puts a heavenly cast over your broken spirit and says, it's all messed up. You're just a jelly donut on the inside. I'm gonna put this thing back together, and I'm gonna empower you with things you didn't have. Hallelujah. Temptations that used to take you, you're gonna say, not anymore. I got the Holy Ghost. I got the Holy Ghost. I went to church last night and he filled me up. I have thoughts that are of God. I have righteousness that is not my own. I have power that... If you're struggling, you don't need more willpower. You need more Holy Ghost. I don't get stronger when my determination grows. You ever see somebody that tries real hard and keeps messing up? Anybody here ever tell yourself, I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to go there anymore. I'm not going to. And you don't pray? And you ain't been to church in 3 months? Willpower is not the Holy Ghost. Not going to do it anymore. Not going to do it anymore. Not going to go there anymore. But without the Holy Ghost... Man, I feel the Holy Ghost right now. I see people do it. January 1st, they say, I'm changing. Done with all that stuff. I'm going to the gym every day. I'm only eating salads. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We got some fallen people in this place. No more Twinkies. No more cookies. Done. New leaf. That's willpower. And you might make it through January 2nd. Come January 3rd, sweat's breaking out on your forehead. You're locked in spiritual warfare with a 12-foot-tall Twinkie demon. Got his hands on you. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No, I'm not. January 4th, they come in, find you all passed out, 4 boxes of Twinkie tore open, plastic wrappers everywhere. Twinkie saucer, whatever it is, all over you. Look at you. That's what willpower is all about. I'm not talking about willpower. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the power of God. You don't need more willpower. You need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And you need it in the morning. And you need it at noonday. And you need it at nighttime. I need him to make me strong. He's my comforter. He's my together. You know, the Bible does not say, develop your willpower and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Amen. It doesn't say that. Let me have you two brethren. Come on here. Let me give you a little illustration. One of you stand right here. One of you stand right here. Okay. All right. This is flesh. You get to be the bad one tonight. Your flesh. And your spirit. This is the good one right here. Spirit. Most people try to live for God like this. I'm not gonna obey the flesh. I'm gonna resist the flesh. I'm gonna resist the flesh. Not gonna. That's how people live their lives. The Bible does not say resist the flesh. It says walk in the spirit. I'm not going to sit there and try to build myself up and psych myself up and try to turn myself into Superman. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray until God changes me. I'm going to pray until the Holy Ghost comes on. I'm not trying to stop going that way. I'm just walking that way. You won't make it with willpower, but you'll make it with the Holy Ghost. I need to wake up in the morning calling on the name of Jesus. In the midday, when the devil's all over me, I need to slip away and I need to call on the name of Jesus. And before I go to bed at night, I need to pray through until the Holy Ghost fills me. And I need to call on the name of Jesus. Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. It's the together strong. It's the comforter. And you're going to do it together. That's the concept of togetherness, of we-ness. Amen. And if I'll get that, then the whole world opens to me. That's what communion is all about. That means literally, together we are one. Communion. And when you pray, you are communing with God. You're becoming one. Jesus said, I would that they were one even as we are one. I want to be lockstep with Jesus. I want to be living with Jesus. When he moves, I want to move. When he says go, I want to go. When he says witness, I want to witness. I want to be so in touch with Jesus because I've been communing with Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm not going 2 days without prayer. They told Daniel, they said, can't pray. You can't pray for 30 days. And if you do, pray to anybody besides the king, we're throwing you in the lion's den. I know some folks that have no problem with that. 30 days, I do that anyway. I just show up and there's some folks that was, or they might say, well, I just won't open up the window like I did. I'll just go back in my closet and I'll just kind of do it low key. But Daniel didn't do any of that. The Bible says that he prayed 3 times a day. And people want to know why. Why would you risk that? Why would you put yourself in harm's way? I think I know the answer why. Daniel saw things in the Holy Ghost. He'd been communing with God. And he had seen beasts. He had seen demonic forces, principalities. He saw leopards with 4 heads and lions with eagle's wings and bears and exceeding great beasts that stamped the residue of men with great fury. And he looked at those things and he looked at those lions and he said, you got to be kidding me. I'll take the lion all day. Is that all you got? She put me in. I would rather face them than face them. You need to get that revelation. I got to commune with God. You don't understand. Praying is not an option. I got to pray. I'm not going to. There's devils after me. There's unclean spirits after me. There's demonic forces that have held my family captive. And I got to have the Holy Ghost to break them. And I'm going to talk with Jesus. And I'm going to. You don't backslide because the devil's strong. You backslide because you stop praying. Because he'll put you in the hand that no man can pluck you out of. Praise God. Communion. I'm communing with him. And then we take communion. And that's when we become one. We're all part of the body. And there's hands and there's feet and there's ears. Everybody serves a purpose. And we all eat one bread and we drink one drink as we commune. And less like we become one with him, we become one with one another in spirit. Oh, hallelujah. And the eye can't say, I have no need of you. And the hand can't tell the foot, I don't need you. We all need each other. I need you. I need you. And you need me. And we need to work together by the power of God. When we do this thing together, something powerful happens. Did you know you're not supposed to stay home from church? You're supposed to come to church. Well, I'm going to stay home because the Lord is my shepherd, and I'm just going to talk to God, and I don't need no man. That's what people say all the time. Honey, you need the Holy Ghost. You need the preached word of God. You can pray by yourself all you want to, but something happens when we pray together. Something happens when we worship together. You're not supposed to praise him all by yourself all the time. Magnify the Lord with me. With me. That's what they say in English. With me. In French, it's avec moi. In Spanish, it's conmigo. But it all means the same thing. Let's do this thing together. Let's shout unto God together. Something happens when you say hallelujah and you say praise God and you say thank you Jesus, and it turns into something powerful. It turns into something dynamic. It turns into an apostolic praise worship service. Anybody want to run the devil out of this place tonight? Anybody want victory in this place tonight? Why don't you praise the Lord with me? Let us exalt his name together, 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 together. Oh, clap your hands. Oh, ye people, shout unto God. One shall put 1,000 to flight, but 2 shall put 10,000 to flight. Praise him with me. Dance with me. Shout with me. Sing with me. It's a commandment. It's God with us. Emmanuel. Somebody give him a shout on a Sunday night right now. Somebody lift your voice to heaven right now. Yeah, 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 yeah. It was designed to be together. It was designed to be together. Woo. I don't really feel like praising tonight. I don't really feel like shouting tonight. I've worked all day long. I've had a hard day. I've had a difficult time. You think I'm just doing this for me? I'm not just doing this by myself. I'm doing this for my sons. I'm doing this for my wife. I'm doing this for my brother. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises, and the Bible says that low about midnight, the house shook, the jail shook. Your praise will shake the prison cell open. You know that. But that's not the only reason they prayed. They prayed so everybody else's chains would open up too. I'm shouting so my brother can get the victory. I'm shouting so my sister can get the Holy Ghost. I'm creating an atmosphere for you. I'm setting an example for my children. I'm not doing this all by myself. I'm doing this because 50 years from now, I want my grandkids running the aisles and raising their hands and shouting unto God. And if they don't have an example, they're not going to know how to do it. I'm praising for them. I'm shouting for them. I'm singing for them. With me, with me, with me, shout with me, sing with me. In the name of Jesus. Woo, hallelujah. I want somebody to get out in the aisle right now. Somebody just get out where you can praise God a little bit. I want a brother to grab a hold of a brother. Sister to grab a hold of a sister. Husband, grab a hold of a wife. We have a commandment. We have a communion. We are fulfilling a commission. I have a comforter. Together, together. I'll grab a hold of somebody and say, I'm praying for you. I'm shouting for you. I'm singing for you. Together, together. Birmingham, it's going to happen. Together, it's going to happen. Together. The devil don't like it, but it's going to happen together. God with us, God with us, God with us, God with us. You're not alone, young man. You're not alone, lady. The Holy Ghost is here. Your brother is here. Your sister is here. In the name of Jesus. That's the Holy Ghost you're feeling right now. In the name of Jesus. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. New life does not have a mission to Birmingham. New life has a commission. It has a commission. When you go and you invite somebody to the kingdom of God, when you give them the gospel of Jesus Christ, when you bring them to the house of God, you're not doing it alone. But he goes with me. He walks with me. David said, I'll praise the Lord who teaches my hands to war and gives me strength. God is with us. You know what the anointing is? The anointing is when God says, I know you don't have the power, so I'm going to give you a little something extra. I know your arms ain't strong enough, so I'm going to give you a little something extra. I know your legs aren't good enough, so I'm going to give you a little something extra. And when I get done with you, giants are going to fall. When I get done with you, walls are going to come down. And when I get done with you, entire armies are going to be leveled.
by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah.
An anointing don't just happen when you get excited. The Bible says, behold, how pleasant, how good, and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the dew that is upon Mount Hermon, and it's like the oil that ran down the beard, even Aaron's beard, to his skirts. I could preach on a lot of things right there, but there's an anointing that's unleashed when we get together. You can sit there praying by yourself all you want to, but I'm going to get with my brothers and I'm going to get with my sisters and we're going to have church and the power of God's going to fall and there's going to be an anointing that comes up. There's an anointing on this congregation, right? You couldn't make it through next week living for God, but now the Holy Ghost is empowering people right now. And tomorrow when you're walking in the Holy Ghost. You're walking in brotherhood. You're walking in. Something exponential happens. Something multiplicative happens. I don't know how it all works, but I just know that one will put 1,000 to flight and two would put 10,000 to flight. Hey, Kayandabo Shata. Don't make me praise him by myself. Praise him with me. Sing with me. Let's have church. Let's have church. And I don't have time to be jealous of my brother. Something good happens to you, I'm not going to feel bad. I'm happy. The foot doesn't get upset when the hand gets blessed. We're all rejoicing together. Well, he got a new car. He got a new, oh, he thinks he's something special. You need to rebuke that spirit in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, she got to sing that part, and I didn't get to sing, and I wanted to sing that part. Well, I guess I'm going to have to leave church. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that spirit. We're going to do this together. You know, Pastor Sutton, the Bible says that the ladies came in one day singing a song, and the song went like this: Saul has slain his thousands, and David slain his 10,000s. And the same mind that looks like at the commandments carnally looked at that song carnally and said, Oh, they only gonna give me thousands, but they're gonna give David 10,000. And now there's javelins being thrown. And now there's persecution. And I hate my brother. And I hate my sister. And I'm trying to tear him down. That's an unclean spirit. That's a demonic stronghold. Don't let the devil tear up the beautiful thing God's doing. Because here's what I believe they were actually saying. One would put 1,000 to flight. Two would put 10,000 to flight. Looking through it at the eyes of faith, what they were saying was, if Saul can do this, what can David and Saul do together? Saul by himself put the Philistines on the run. But now we got two of them. What would happen if a brother and a brother link arms and a sister link arms? There is no devil in hell. There is no demonic stronghold. There is no power in this place that can stop us in the name of Jesus. Don't get bitter. Get better. Get the Holy Ghost. Let His Spirit come upon you. With me. With me. With me. Shout with me. Run with me. Dance with, come on, Paul, come on, Silas, let's sing until the jailhouse shakes. Somebody give him a together praise right now. Somebody lift your voice. Somebody shout unto God. Come on, somebody shout unto God. I'm praising for my family. I'm praising for my neighborhood. I'm praising for my city. I'm praising for my church family. Hey! Come on. Come on down. Come on down. Hey, I'm not a Boko Shata. Woo! I feel the Holy Ghost. They're getting ready to sing, and we're getting ready to dance. My, 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 my. I enjoyed what was said a little bit earlier. It says the woman came in with the alabaster box and she broke it and anointed the feet of Jesus. And there was a lot of people looking down at her saying, what's this waste? What's going on here? Why is she worshiping like this? Some people don't know why you're dancing like you're dancing. They don't know why you're shouting like you're shouting. They don't know why you're singing like you're singing. They look at you like you're a little crazy. They look like you're a little bit out of order. But if you had been where I was, don't you judge me for why I shout. Don't look down on me because I praise God like this. You weren't there when he found me. You didn't see the pit that he pulled me out of. You didn't see the back alley that he found me in. But he picked me up and he washed me clean and he wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. So the question, brother, is not why am I down here? The question is, why aren't you down here with me? Why aren't you dancing with me? Why aren't you shouting with me? Why aren't you speaking in tongues with me? Why don't you run with me? Somebody shout. Somebody dance. Somebody give him a praise. I'm shouting for my father. I'm shouting for my cousin. I'm shouting for my neighborhood. Yeah, yeah. I can feel like something's about to explode in this house right now. It's like lava underneath the surface of the ground, just looking for a place to break out, waiting on somebody to break out. Here's what I want to do. Hallelujah. I want you to dig down inside of you, and I want you to get a praise that's bigger than your trial right now. The Bible says, shout unto God. Hold on. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. I want you to take the next 60 seconds And I want you to grab a hold of your neighbor, and I want you to shout. And I don't want you to shout with that little, well, we just gonna do. I want you to shout like you might die tomorrow. Hold on, not yet. The Bible says that when they came to Jericho on the seventh day, he said, shout, because the Lord has given you a victory. When Goliath fell, the Bible said that Israel shouted because God gave them the victory. One day, the scripture says the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel, and the dead in Christ shall rise. I want you to take 60 seconds and I want you to give God a shout and give God a praise until the walls come down. Yeah! Shout! Shout, 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 because he gave you the victory. Yes. Go, 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 go. Shout right now. Shout right now. Dance right now. In the name of Jesus! Yeah.